Chapter 9. What's wrong, Joe? Skippy's avatar appeared on my desk, leaning forward and squinting at me with concern. He didn't need to squint, of course. That was an affectation to make his avatar seem more real. Ah, nothing, I mumbled, with my jaw resting on a hand, elbow on the desk. My laptop was open, a report on the screen, but I was reading it mostly to kill time. There wasn't much for me to do while the Legion was consolidating control of Globacus. Really, the Verds were establishing control. The single battalion of human troops were setting up bases. With the assault carrier Chesapeake Bay in pieces, we didn't have the transport resources to pull all of our people off the surface. They didn't want to go yet anyway. Globacus had been a hard fight, and we won. Everyone who had boots on the ground and aboard the destroyer squadron in orbit wanted to stay at Globacus until the Verds declared they didn't need support from humans. I could understand that sentiment. Even back when I was a grunt in Nigeria, not understanding what our mission was supposed to be, I hated the idea of pulling out before the job was done. Geez, Joe, why so glum? You should be happy, he sniffed. The Theranin set a trap here, and the Legion kicked ass anyway. Dave Chaika is safe, and Margaret smashed. I know it is cold comfort to the people we lost, but because of them, Globacus is one in the win column. I know. It's just... I sighed. Yes, the Legion had kicked ass, but it was not true the Theranin set a trap for us. The little green MFers here had probably been hating life when they got assigned to Globacus, the ass end of the galaxy. Or maybe they looked forward to getting a break from constant warfare, because for sure none of them expected to see any action. When the UN Navy appeared, with only 3 destroyers and 1 assault carrier, the Theranin must have thought they got handed a golden opportunity. Yet they still got their asses kicked. I am happy, I assured him, knowing I sounded not at all happy. It's just, we rode here like the freaking cavalry coming to the rescue. I was pumped, you know? And the fight was over before we got here. That is not a good thing? It is. Huh. Did Joey get his little feelings hurt? Oh, shut up. No, I am happy, damn it. Really? Because it sounds like you are whining. I am not whining. I know what the problem is. He smirked. The destroyer squadron here took out an entire Theranin task force without help of an elder AI. You have never done that. Come to think of it, Captain Bonsu is a maverick. They have been kicking a lot of ass without my help. Maybe you should study their tactics. Yeah, maybe. Whoa. I am smacking you with insults and you're not even responding. What's wrong? I pressed a button to slide my office door closed. You keep telling me we are running out of options, like collapsing probabilities, something like that. Yes. Why do you... The force here prevailed, sure. They barely survived. It could have gone either way. I think the Legion, the Navy, the merry band of pirates, we're all skating on thin ice, you know? I do know. It is true. The pathways for survival for your people are narrower than they were before Columbus Day, before you did one impossible freaking thing after another. But there is good news, Joe. Actions we have taken, like establishing the policy of mutual assured destruction, and just recently threatening to crash the wormhole networks across the galaxy, have resulted in an expansion of future probability streams. Not a big expansion, and the probabilities could still collapse with bad results, sure, but that is somewhat less likely now. Yeah, sure, except the rotten kiddies are planning to bail out of the galaxy and activate their elder weapons. The whole mutual assured destruction thing assumes the enemy cares about their own destruction. That's bad enough, Skippy. What really worries me is the bluff we pulled about crashing the wormhole networks. Why? As long as only you and I know the truth, there's not a problem. I certainly won't tell anyone. Hey, I won't tell anyone either. Not even Margaret? Especially not her. I wouldn't dump something like that on her. Good point. I checked the time and slapped my laptop closed. Enough worrying about stuff that might happen. The dropship to the surface is leaving in half an hour. I need to get ready. If you are planning to meet Margaret, my advice is not to wear that cologne you bought. Goodbye, Skippy. On the ground, I did have a reunion of sorts with Margaret. Unfortunately for me, it was during an official meeting with the Mavericks. Fortunately for me, having her team there meant it was also a reunion with Dave, Jesse, Shauna, Jates, and Perkins, although the meeting was in a hospital because Dave was in recovery. Did I wish for some alone time with Margaret? Hell yes. There would be time for that later. Hopefully. Me being a general, and with our mighty Valkyrie in orbit, meant everyone wanted a moment of my time, including the Verd Chris leadership. They were smart. Instead of sending a request through channels, they had Sergeant Jates ask me if I had time to discuss critical issues with my counterpart. That was kind of bullshit. I didn't actually have a counterpart among the Verds on Globacus, and they really should have talked with Colonel Huang, the commander of the X-Force battalion. It was likely they already had spoken with Huang, and he either did not or could not give them what they wanted. Determined that I was not going to say yes to anything Admiral Zhao would have to deliver, I agreed to a meeting. That was a mistake. Not a mistake, exactly, but it committed me to an extremely long and tedious review of things I already knew, then a list of problems the Verds were facing, and finally, a shopping list of equipment and actions they needed in order to consolidate their hold over the planet. Throughout the meeting, I nodded politely and took notes on my tablet and made mm-hmm noises at the appropriate time. But as I suspected, most of what they wanted was more. More of everything, including human troops. They wanted Huang's battalion to stay, though he had already politely told them no, then, not so politely, told them no. Huang was getting to the fuck-off stage of negotiations when I stepped in. The bottom line was I had no authority or ability to give the Verds everything or even a significant amount of what they requested. Hey, I was sympathetic to their issues, and it was tough to keep saying no to a valuable ally. However, the Verds had requested to add Globacus to our to-do list, and when Zhao agreed only to provide a token force on a shoestring budget, the Verds jumped at the chance. They wanted to land on Globacus with minimum force to test the concept that at least part of Kristang society was eager to break away from domination by the warrior caste. The Verds got what they wanted, and now, of course, they wanted more. The argument was that with more support, they could accomplish so much more. That might be true. It was also not my problem. All I promised to do was request that Huang's understrength battalion act as a combat reserve force until transport arrived to pull them off the rock. Plus, I would pass the request for more support on to Admiral Zhao. It was his call. The rest of the list I gave to Sims with vague promises to check Valkyrie's inventory for any surplus gear we could spare. Sir? Sims turned as I walked into the temporary office she'd been assigned by Huang's team. She was on a video conference with people aboard Valkyrie. On the other end of the call were people in one of the ship's cargo holds. "How's it going, Exo?" I asked, impatient to jump away from Globacus and get back to dealing with problems that were my responsibility, like a homeworld that would freeze unless we could do something about it. "All right." She paused the video link and let out a long breath. "I have a list of gear we don't need that the Verds could..." Looking over her shoulder, I jabbed a finger at the list on her laptop screen. "Bridging equipment?" It had surprised me that we even had gear aboard to create temporary bridges. "I can see why we don't need it. What do the Verds want it for?" She rolled her eyes. "It's a hearts and minds thing, sir. A group of merchant caste lizards down here are complaining that a major trade route is blocked and it's costing them money. The Verds are trying to get this group of merchants to sign on to the new government. One incentive they're offering is a bridge to bypass the blocked route. It's not perfect. A bridge?" I interrupted, irritated that my crew had gotten bogged down in logistics details and irritated at myself because it was my fault. "If the road is blocked, why can't the lizards just fly the..." I waved a hand vaguely. "Whatever stuff they need to move." "They could." She pursed her lips and used her "I am patiently explaining this" tone. "That would add cost, which would give a different, less cooperative group of lizard merchants an advantage." "Well, I was exasperated to be dealing with such mundane crap. How tough can it be to clear a freaking road? Tapping on her laptop, she pulled up a satellite view of a mountain pass. Oh, I grunted, embarrassed. What the hell is that?
Part of a Theranan battleship, she explained.
Holy shit. It's wedged in there good, huh? The problem was obvious even with a casual look. There was a mountain range cutting roughly north to south through the middle of an otherwise flat area of the planet, separating farmland to the east from cities and towns along the seacoast to the west. Kinda like the Sierra Mountains in California, although this range was way more abrupt, going from near sea level in the foothills to over 2,500 meters at the ridgeline. The height doesn't sound impressive, and the mountain pass where the road was blocked was at only 2,000 meters. The problem was not the altitude. It was the fact that the pass was the only practical place to cut a road for 500 kilometers in either direction. To the east, there was an impressive crater where most of the battleship must have gone down. The crater was still smoking. Stuck in the mountain pass was a big chunk of starship, thick armor plates still identifiable along with structural frames. The artificial meteor must have hit the northeast slope of the pass, collapsing a million tons of rock and rolling down to completely block the road with its bulk. How the hell did that thing not make a massive crater when it hit?
It did.
Sims zoomed the display out.
The big crater in the foothills to the east of the mountains is where the ship fell. The big piece stuck in the pass, and all these pieces scattered on either side of the road are what bounced out of the crater after the initial impact.
Holy shit, I gasped. I didn't know that could happen.
Skippy said it was a freak set of circumstances. That the Theranan battleship was maneuvering to get into a polar orbit when it got hit by Desran 7. She used the official designation for the squadron of destroyers led by the Marseille. It was in a low orbit, almost stationary relative to the surface when it got hit. Basically, it fell almost straight down.
Huh. Captain Duchamp chose the right moment to attack. How big is that wreckage?
She tapped her keyboard, bringing up an overlay on the piece of ship that was lying diagonally across the mountain pass. Almost 200 meters.
Damn!
My American brain automatically converted that measurement to half a lap around a track.
They're gonna need a lot more than bridging equipment, I noted while scratching my chin.
She shrugged. The lizards don't have the type of heavy excavation equipment to move something that big. And it's heavy. See all the armor plating? The lizards want a bridge to cross the river here to the south. She adjusted the map. Throw a bridge across this river, cut in a road, and make a deal with the merchants who have rights to transit in that area. None of the merchants like the idea, and they blame the Verds for creating the mess. It's not a great solution, but it's the best we can offer with...
And... She looked at me and shook her head.
What?
She rolled her eyes.
I can see you're thinking about blowing it up.
Me?
I know you, sir.
I am not thinking about blowing it up.
Good. Then I am thinking about addressing the issue in the most time and resource efficient manner possible.
By, she sighed, blowing it up.
Like I said.
Tapping her laptop, I activated the video. Colonel Mamet.
He appeared. From the background, he was in a conference room aboard the ship.
General, have you seen this chunk of starship that's wedged sideways in a mountain pass?
He sucked in a breath.
I'll take that as a yes, I snorted.
Can we, do something about it from up there?
His face took on the expression of a puppy that saw a T-bone steak just out of reach.
Sir, are you serious?
He swallowed hard enough for me to see his Adam's apple bobbing up and down.
Please don't tease me like that.
I'm serious. That wreckage is a major obstacle to our Verd allies accomplishing their objectives here.
You, Sims interjected, didn't consider that to be our problem a minute ago.
It wasn't cool a minute ago, I explained, with an implied duh.
Mamet? Oh my God. Hi.
He looked like he was about to faint.
Take a minute.
Sir, for a...
He let out a long breath.
Sorry. For an artillery specialist, this is a dream come true.
How kinetic do you want to get?
Nothing crazy. Clear enough wreckage so the lizards can cut a road through. I turned to Sims.
They can do that, right?
They cut that road in the first place, she reminded me. The lizards do have road-making equipment, just not starship-moving equipment.
Fine, I concluded.
Weps, I used the nickname for Mame, the ship's weapons officer. Show me a plan.
Joe, Skippy shouted. I can't believe you are doing this.
It's not.
I can't believe you're doing it without me, he sniffed,
hurt.
Oh. I mean, you should work with Mame to...
On it, sir, Mame acknowledged and cut the video link.
That's not the point, Joe.
Skippy wouldn't let it go.
There is so much to do.
Yeah, I guess. Check the rail guns and...
I know that, dum-dum. I'm talking about clearing lizards away from the blast zone and...
Okay, sure. We can do that.
That's just the easy stuff, he complained. We need to change the crew assignment so most people will be off duty to watch. And popcorn! I don't know if we have enough popcorn. People will want to watch this.
Sims just shook her head with a weary sigh.
I'll handle it, sir.
Artillery targeting, even with the assistance of an awesomely smart Elder AI, is still partly an art rather than 100% science. Mame had to use his judgment, his years of experience, and the skill that got him assigned to the most powerful warship in the galaxy. He struggled with the problem, because even he had never used an orbital railgun strike on such a large, heavy, stationary target. If he got it wrong, the mountain pass could collapse in on itself, blocking the approach roads on both sides and creating an unstable pile of debris that would have to be dug out before a road could be cut through. Skippy scanned the ground under the wreckage and did his best to create a model of the subsurface, but the best analysis he could do had a substantial level of shmaybe to it.
It's geology, Joe, he complained to me. Rocks look solid, but they get unpredictably squishy if you apply enough force.
Enough force was the problem. Too much force could create massive landslides, ruining the usefulness of that mountain pass for years, perhaps permanently. Too little force would just mash the armored wreckage deeper into the soil, making it even more of a bitch to dig out. After modeling so many scenarios that even Skippy's brain hurt, Mame had a plan.
If you want to use explosives to move an egg, you don't hit the egg, he told me. You hit the surface under it to make the egg move.
I got the basic idea and approved his plan. The lizards had already begun to move their people away from the potential blast zone, so the delay in launching the strike was caused by needing to maneuver Valkyrie into position so that our line-of-sight railguns were pointed at an angle to the west side of the mountain ridge. The slope was steeper there, and part of the wreckage was overhanging that way. When the wreckage hit, it had started to slide to the west, but got dug in, and a lot of rock fell to create a wedge that acted as a sort of doorstopper, holding the huge chunk of battleship firmly in place. We got Valkyrie into an orbit where three times a day we were in the right position for a strike for only a few minutes. That orbit could be adjusted to avoid having to wait, so the continuing delay was not a matter of orbital mechanics. The delay was due to bad weather over the target site. No, Mame was not concerned that his ultra-dense railgun darts would be deflected off course by smacking into fat raindrops. Darts actually could be moved very slightly by striking raindrops on the way down. That is why the darts were spun up before launch. The effect of splattering rain would even out and keep the darts on target. Nor was the weather an issue with precise targeting. Valkyrie's advanced sensors and fire control computers were not affected by cloud cover. What was affected by clouds was the crew's ability to see the target.
Damn it. No way were we going through a whole lot of trouble just to help a bunch of hateful lizards. We were doing it for the scientific value, to test the ability of our big guns to move a major obstruction. The engineering knowledge we gained would be...
Okay, that's bullshit. Yeah, we would probably learn something about physics, blah 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 nerdnik stuff. The main value was to see our guns blowing shit up. In case anyone out there thinks this is just a stupid guy thing, you... Okay, I guess that's fair. However, when the sky finally cleared over the target, guess who was sitting in the front row of the movie theater we had set up for the viewing? Major Katie Frey. She is a woman. I mean, that's what her personnel file says. I don't have any first-hand knowledge, if you know what I mean.
She couldn't wait to see the results of the strike. You know who else was watching from the ground? Margaret Adams. There is a vicious rumor that I delayed the strike for 7 hours so my girlfriend could get back to base to watch. That rumor is absolutely true. Hey, my job sucks most of the time. I'm not apologizing for taking advantage of a few benefits. There was a bit of a wrinkle at the last moment when the local Lizard Clan sent a proposal to create an alternate road up and over a mountain pass 30 kilometers to the south. That plan had the advantage of being low risk and would also create jobs for the construction crews. It had the endorsement of the merchants involved, and the Verd leadership recommended we cancel the orbital strike. Sadly, I never saw that very reasonable proposal until it was too late. Really, I didn't see it. Didn't even know about it. Skippy later explained that an unspecified communications glitch caused that message to get hung up in a buffer until it was too late. I need to remember the buffer thing. That could come in handy someday. Anyway, the clock ticked down to 0 hour with Mamet in the ship's movie theater. He was standing next to the big holographic display behind a folding table that held a couple laptops. He looked like he was going to DJ a high school dance instead of unleashing destruction. Really, he didn't need to do anything other than not cancel the scheduled programmed firing instructions. The box on the table with a big yellow button was just for show. While we waited for Valkyrie's orbit to line up our railguns, Meme explained his targeting plan. Listen, I like the guy. Super pleased he signed on to the crew. But it's like a joke. Explaining just ruins it. I didn't want to know the math of what was about to happen. I just wanted to enjoy seeing big explosions, damn it. Despite my determination that we wait for clouds over the site to clear so we could see the strike in real time, we didn't see much. The first three darts struck within nanoseconds of each other, the railguns launching their darts slightly faster or slower so the projectiles arrived at the same time. They scored a direct hit on the wreckage, cracking it in two pieces side to side. After those impacts, we had to settle for a synthetic view of the events. With the wreckage cut in two, the western half already wanted to slide down the slope if the rock slide doorstopper would get out of the way. That was the next part of Mame's plan. The next two darts smacked into the western slope of the pass, digging craters and blasting fountains of dirt kilometers into the sky. While we watched, Valkyrie's orbit carried the ship across the sky, presenting a shallower angle to the railguns. Four darts raced out and downward, their speed dialed up to 11, so they penetrated deep into the sides of the new craters. Even with synthetic vision, Skippy had to guess a bit on the images to feed us, which, became a teeny tiny problem. Remember Skippy bitching that geology can be kinda squishy? Yeah, what he didn't anticipate was the speed at which the western half of the wreckage would fall away from the pass, because he had to guess about the response of the rock under the mountain ridge. Spoiler alert, the massive chunk of starship tipped over and fell more quickly than expected, so, it was kind of in the flight path of one of the last four darts. Result? A chunk of starship went on an unexpected last flight. Like, that thing went flying. My first notification that we had a problem was Skippy very helpfully shouting, "Oh, shit!" "What do you mean, oh, shit?" I asked, halfway out of my chair. "What is?" Then I saw a dark chunk of something spinning through the air as it soared up and away from the conjoined mushroom clouds that were boiling up from the impact site. "What the hell is?" "It's a piece of the wreckage, Joe." Skippy continued his streak of being Mr. Helpful. "I know what it is. Where is it going?" "Down?" Skippy muttered, thoroughly ruining his chance of getting the coveted Employee of the Month award. "No shit, Sherlock. I meant..." Then there was no point asking questions, because the flying chunk stopped flying as it smacked into the mountainside. The Theranin are hateful, murderous, little green cyborg assholes. They are also excellent engineers. That chunk of battleship mostly held together, even though its structure was mangled and twisted and pieces of armor plating tore loose to cause havoc by themselves. The wreckage went bouncing and tumbling down the mountain, mowing down trees and generally being very environmentally unfriendly. It was embarrassing because that was not supposed to happen, even though we had achieved success in clearing the pass. In my head, I was preparing a message to spin the event as a complete success when Frey tapped my shoulder. Sir? She was pointing to the top edge of the display where a river valley cut north to south at the bottom of the mountain range's western slope. At first, I thought she was concerned that the bouncing wreckage was obliterating the road. But a glance showed the road highlighted in yellow swung in a wide loop to the north, and the wreckage was tumbling pretty much straight down. Then I saw the problem. The road used a bridge to cross the river at the bottom of the mountain, and the wreckage was bouncing right toward it.
No, I groaned.
Yes, someone said from behind me. Yes, yes, they shouted excitedly as the debris made a beeline for the vulnerable bridge. For an eternity, that probably took 10 seconds or less, there was a chorus of excited yeses and disappointed noes as the wreckage tumbled and bounced and fell right and left, its odds of striking the bridge growing better or worse in a random fashion. All I could think of as I sat there helplessly paralyzed was, how am I going to explain this shit? At the last second, the crumpled hunk of starship bounded to the north and followed a stream valley down to splash into the river, tipping up and over, so most of it got lodged into the west bank of the river. That was the good news. It not only missed the bridge, it also didn't block the river by creating an artificial dam. The bad news? It splashed down only 100 meters from the bridge. Upstream of the bridge. When I say splash, I don't mean like a kid jumping into a swimming pool. I mean like the bottom of the river was exposed for a moment. Water rushed upstream and down, a wall of water racing down to batter the bridge, washing completely over it. I held my breath. When the surge of water subsided, the bridge was still there, wobbling a bit, but still standing. Wow, I exhaled. That was a close, Joe? Skippy got my attention. The shockwave that went upstream? Yeah, it stopped as water flowing downstream pushed against it. Equilibrium was reached for a split second, then gravity won the battle and the water surged forward. Another boiling, foaming wall of water raced downstream, past and around the chunk of starship, and again we lost sight of the bridge. When the wall of water continued downstream, for a moment I thought everything would be fine, but slowly, slowly, the bridge leaned to one side, toppling over and gaining speed to make its own splash. The crowd cheered, and I had to do a sheepish slow clap, trying to scrunch down in my seat. Beside me, Sims just sighed and shook her head. Everyone was looking at me. Well, I said, avoiding the glare Sims was shooting at me. It's a darn good thing we brought that bridging equipment, huh? When the smoke cleared, literally, Skippy reported that other than wiping out a bridge, the operation was a success. The pass was not only clear of obstruction, it was 50 meters lower than before, and a new debris slope meant the approach from the western side was not as steep. There were still two large pieces of starship on the western side of the pass, which might become tourist attractions someday. They were not in the way of the road. Skippy thought that after a couple days for the fallen rock to settle in, it would be a good firm surface for a road. And, due to my incredible foresight, we had bridging equipment available and ready for delivery. How do I do such amazing things? I don't know. It's a gift, really. For the first week, I avoided the galley when Sims was there.